This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
I'm spooked.
Spooked?
Yeah.
What about?
Tom, I'm on my way over here.
Uh-oh.
I made a discovery.
Uh-huh.
I have a theory.
Okay.
I think the Jinx lives in my building.
Tim, I was going to say, Tim, the Jinx died years ago, but that is just what the media told us.
Yeah, that's what Robert Durst wants us to think.
Of course, the man has faked his own death before, right?
Probably.
Well, I know at least he pretended to be a mute woman for a while.
Yeah.
And he cut somebody into pieces that he killed, but then claimed, like, oh, I didn't kill him, but I did cut him up into pieces. And they were like, oh, there is no crime against that.
I'm not sure if he lives in my building,
or if he's just like hiding in there looking for possible victim.
Look, the Jinx at the end of his life.
Look, at the end of the Jinx, at the end of the day, it's a good man.
At the end of his life, he wasn't looking so hot.
No, he certainly wasn't. I think that's part of what led to him dying.
This old man, well, that's what he wants you to think.
Right, yeah.
This old man that I saw,
Look,
it was dead ringer for Robert Durst.
Yeah.
But like Jinx era Robert Durst.
Oh, okay. Maybe now, he got some back alley surgery, some work done.
He might have gotten some back alley surgery. He might have, I don't know, been
faking looking old the whole time.
Not looking old, but like it wasn't that he didn't die of. Well, I guess he did in some ways die of being old, but like I don't know. What do you have? Like some organ failure or something?
Yeah, something like
that. That was probably all a fake, so he could be snuck out the back in a body bag.
That organ probably wasn't even his in the first place. He probably took it from somebody else, put it in there. So that they would see it and be like, oh, yeah, this must be a bad liver.
The other explanation is that somebody in my building, an old man, is like, well, I'm an old man now. I got to settle on a look.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, I saw a poster for a TV show.
Right.
This guy looks pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he modeled his look after the Jinx.
Now, did the Jinx have a distinct enough look? Putting aside when he was pretending to be a mute woman for a while. I feel like he was just kind of like, he dressed pretty nice.
Yeah, he was a billionaire. He dressed pretty nice.
But I'm just saying, like, he didn't have like a distinctive look.
No, I mean, terrifying.
Right, right.
Chills you to the bone when you see him.
Yeah, but he was like the kind of guy that wears like a blazer with like a shirt and no tie. That was the Jinx's
look. Sometimes, sometimes it was more formal.
Was it? Oh, when he was in court?
Yeah,
sure. Is this guy more formal, this old man?
No, this guy was what you described.
Okay.
And also, I guess he didn't get like plastic surgery to make his face look more like the Jinx. He just has a Jinxy face.
A lot of old guys out there do, Tim. It's just kind of a problem.
You want to know a revelation that I had this week?
What's that?
That I think you're going to drag me for. But I think if you would just give me a chance and think about it for 1 second, it makes some sense.
Okay.
When you see an old guy, like a really old guy,
right,
you're like, oh, this poor old guy, right?
Do you think that about every old guy?
You see an old guy, right, and you're like, this old guy, he's probably like, you know, you see him, like a guy that you pass on the street, and you're like, that's just an old guy,
right?
That guy, for most of his life, wasn't a really old guy.
No.
So he's probably getting used to it, too. You know what I mean? Like, I always think of, like, I think people, younger people, like us, young Gen Z Zoomers like us, we see old people, and we're like, eh, we'll write them off. They're just a bunch of old cranks. But it's like, no, for most of their lives, they were young like us.
Yeah.
Or middle-aged, at least.
Well, they probably weren't middle-aged most of their life, by definition.
Or, like,
They spent a majority of their life under the age of 50.
Yeah, so they're probably like, you know the way that, like, sometimes you see, like, you know, I don't know if you have, like, family, like, younger cousins or something. I have, like, younger cousins in, like, their early 20s, and I'm just like, oh, I can hang with them.
Right.
And, like, that's probably, and, like, no, I can't. Like, they don't want to, they're using slang and lingo that I don't understand. Yeah. This old man that I'm seeing on the street, maybe this jinxed fella in my in my apartment.
He
he's
might
like,
think, oh, I could hang out with that guy.
40-year-old, I'm practically that. It's like, no, get out of here.
Yeah, what is he on the way to do a podcast with his friend? Maybe I'll tag along. Tim, if you ever show up at my house with some old man that looks like the Jinx, podcast is over. It's done. There won't even be an announcement. You'll just stop seeing the show up
that
in your feed.
That'd be a fantastic way to go out.
Yeah, because I always just, I don't even look through the peephole because I'm expecting you and I open the door.
Yeah, you see the jinx.
Boy. That would be enough to kill me.
You knew I was coming. You buzz me in.
Uh-huh.
Knock on the door. You still make me knock on the door every week.
I don't make you knock on the door. It's just I don't know. I'm not on the ground floor, so it takes a minute for you to get up here.
Okay. But you hear a knock on the door, I'm going to open up, I'm going to see Tim, and you see the Jinx himself.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'd probably just die right there. Just die of fright. And just like
Are there Robert
topple
Durst
over.
Impersonators?
Are there Robert Durst impersonators? Yes. I doubt it. I mean, you might be able to throw
you
some money at this
Jinx
old guy.
To perform your wedding.
But you said this old guy, your address is sharp, so I guess you might not be able to just throw him like $20 to come scare the shit out of me at my house.
Yeah, I know. They're all on fixed incomes.
That's true. Yeah, maybe. Just offer him a nice new blazer or something like that.
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know.
Or, tantalizingly, or something nicer.
$500.
You pay him $500?
To perform my wedding ceremony? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about just coming to scare me.
Oh, no. Coming to scare you? No, yeah. I'd like try to confuse him and get him into an Uber and then, you know, it's be like, oh, we're going to see your grandson or something.
So, but you would hire him for a wedding.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I wanted that. I'm already married, Tom.
Right. Okay.
If we ever renew our vows and
with
this
the Jinx.
Old man that looks like the Jinx is still alive.
Then you'd know that you guys are really serious about each other.
Renewing the vows?
Renewing them in front of the Jinx.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're like, I'm willing to take my life into my own hands just to confirm how much I love you.
What kind of guy do you think? Or would it be worth it for my wife and I to renew our vows and invite family and friends just to have this guy look that looks like the Jinx perform the ceremony?
I think
just to confuse our family.
He'd have to
and
really
friends.
Look like the Jinx. He'd Tom, and sound like him.
Well, I don't know. I didn't talk to him.
He'd I was
too freaking terrified.
He'd have to be up there burping during the burping like is if anybody has any reason these two should not be wed. Oh, the burping. Speak now, because like he's nervous. He doesn't want somebody to say
right.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jinx. Yeah, he would want everything to go smoothly.
Yeah, they went smooth. All of his marriages went smoothly.
Maybe not the best guy, huh?
No.
In that context, how are you doing this week,
Tim? I'm good.
Great.
I'll leave it at that. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Any run-ins with the Jinx?
No run-ins with the Jinx. Told you some lady was screaming at me the other day and told me I had a flat head. But,
yeah.
I forget if I mentioned that on the show. But yeah, other than that, things are going smoothly as far as my interactions with strangers outside. Yeah.
Like flat head, like flat top from Dick Tracy?
I don't know what she meant. She was, well, she also was mad that I keep following her from city to city. So okay. I don't think she really had.
She's got a point about the flat head, though, Tom.
Does she? My head's flat?
You're like a freaking flathead screwdriver over here.
What is that? Like so skinny? It comes to a point at the top, like a
yes, I don't
like
know.
A mohawk. Tim, look, we're not here this week to talk about silly frivolousness like the Jinx and some lady.
Silly frivolousness like the Jinx?
Well, a man who looks like the Jinx.
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this guy's deal.
What do you mean you're gonna get to the bottom?
I'm gonna
of
see
it?
What his life is like.
Why?
So we could hire him for something.
Not hiring this guy. We're not taking any of the podcast money for that either.
Yeah, I'll take what I need.
Yeah, that's coming out of your share then, Tim. We're not talking about these frivolities this week. We're talking about scientific breakthroughs, something a lot of listeners come to hear first from us.
Yeah.
I mean, there will be probably a lot of people hearing this first from us.
I know. I heard it first from you when you suggested we do it as a topic.
So there you go.
Classic Tom episode, folks.
Well, I'm often thought of as the more scientific mind of the two of us.
I think that might be true.
You know, when it's a topic like, what's 2 + 2? People know, like, oh, it's a Tim episode.
Yeah, mathematics is more my field. It's an hour
of this guy trying to figure out what 2 + 2 is. It must be a Tim episode.
It's good. It's good audio, Tom.
or topics like, do old people know they're old?
Oh, no. I know old people know they're old. It's just I don't think they get the respect they deserve.
No, that's true. Well, of course. But I saw like a post on Reddit the other day where somebody was talking about like, is it weird that I'm like in my 40s, but I still think I'm like 25? And people were like, no, I'm like 75 years old and I still think of myself the way I was when I was like, I'm reminded by my body that I'm not, but yeah, like your mind stays the same. You think the same way usually.
Yeah. And my body is better than most 25-year-olds.
That's probably why they wouldn't hang out with you that time.
They're intimidated.
Yeah, they were intimidated. They're like, what is this man? 3% body fat? How
is he
did
drinking
he...
elixir from the fountain of youth?
Yeah. Did he not drink water for 2 weeks before this family reunion just so he could look extra cut?
All my younger cousins revere me, Tom, just to be clear.
Right. They just don't want to talk to you. So I have a conversation.
I don't know. They just think I'm sus.
You got mad at me for saying that.
I know. I was trying to use Zoomer slang, Tom. And also, you shouldn't be saying sus.
I should be saying sus so that they don't think I'm sus. So that they think I'm one of them still.
I don't need to relitigate the Chugi thing.
Tim, this week we're talking about LK99. You know, a lot of times on this show, we cover new compounds scientists have written papers
about.
Is
this what the name of the episode is going to be, LK99?
I think so, right? What else would it be?
I don't know, but like, it seems like a mistake. Right? It's like, let's look at these complete guide episodes. Hot dogs.
Like some like metadata error.
Diet Coke, right? Like,
yeah. And then what's this one? Teal Day apostrophe --. I'm sure once like DuPont or whatever buys this, they'll come up with some catchy marketing name. They'll go through a list of like 10,000 things and then they'll call it like Laser Rock.
Right. Sure. Tom.
Mm-hmm.
First off.
Yeah.
What is this? I don't understand. I read an article about it, and it was a lengthy article
mm-hmm.
written for like, it was like a common person's guide to this, and I didn't understand any of it.
Yeah. Well,
so, I used to be smart, Tom.
But not like in science and stuff.
Yeah, in science.
In chemistry?
Stuff. Yeah.
When?
High school.
That's like high school chemistry. And then you stopped paying attention to it at all.
Yeah.
And 20 years went by.
I know.
And you forgot.
And so I'm not smart anymore.
Well, maybe you should go back to high school.
I'd like to.
Yeah, I know. And they keep turning down your request.
They keep saying I'm sus.
They say, sorry, sir, you're just too sus. So that's the
27-year-old superintendent. Younger than me at this point, yeah.
Sir, I'm afraid you're sus and you're giving all the students the ick. So we can't have
the
you
ick
here.
Is a thing?
Yeah.
Ah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I got the ick from that guy. That's what you say.
Ah. All right, I'm coming around on this slang.
I mean, that is good slang. It's like, yeah, that's a good way to describe a feeling somebody can give you.
Yeah. I mean, there are words that can...
Yeah, but I feel like you'd be like, I got bad vibes from that guy, or that guy like creeped me out, he was a little bit weird. But saying like, I got the ick from him, it's like,
yeah.
I got like a physical reaction to the way that person is.
Yeah. Okay, well... I gave all the kids the ick, apparently. I'll own it. It's fine.
Tim, I'm gonna tell you what the Verge.com's their explanation of what this
the
is.
The Bird.com.
No, Tim, the Verge.com, not the Bird.com. Why would that website? What is?
I don't know. That's why I was so incredulous.
Yeah, you'd believe something from a bird site.
Well, I don't know what this is. Like, is this bird related?
Yeah, it's true. Well, I don't know if this could help birds in any way.
Mm, well,
I'm thinking about it. In fact,
wait till my mind gets going. I learn what this thing is.
I can think of one way it might be detrimental to birds.
Oh, no.
Which how's that for a tease? Get people to listen to the whole thing. TheVerge.com says LK99 is a polycrystalline, that means multiple crystallines, material made out of lead, oxygen, and phosphorus that's been, quote, doped or infused with copper.
Why are we talking about it?
Because, Tim, this is potentially... The world's first room temperature, ambient pressure, superconductor.
And of course I know what a superconductor is.
Yeah, right now you're thinking a guy on a train wearing a Superman cape collecting tickets.
Perhaps.
So a superconductor.
But for the audience.
For the common man.
Yeah, for you know, the under 10 crowd listening.
Uh-huh. A superconductor, Tim, is basically this idea that, well, so superconductors exist, but the problem is...
But what does a superconductor do?
Let me tell you what a superconductor is. It is, do you remember from, like, I guess this probably would have been physics class in high school or whatever, maybe even college physics if you took it, yeah. Electricity, anything about electricity and how it works.
Yeah.
So you remember, like, resistance is a thing in electricity?
Sure.
So, like, certain things, everything has a level of resistance. Which is why, you know, if I took a live wire, had you hold that wooden table and I put it to the other end of the table, there's too much resistance. You wouldn't get shocked.
Right.
But if you were holding a metal pole and I touched the other end, well, there's
less resistance.
You will get shocked. However, you know.
Like, this is magnificent, Tom. It's like Bill Nye himself is here explaining this to me. Keep going.
So that's the conductivity of material.
So it's more conducive.
I think conductive still. I don't think it would be conducive.
The less resistance there is.
So
a superconductor has super low resistance.
A superconductor has zero resistance.
What the hell?
Yeah. Or maybe like, you know, close
negligible
to zero.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm probably getting all this wrong.
I know.
But as far as I understand, that's what a superconductor is. Just a material that has no resistance. Now, these materials do exist today. However, the big caveat...
As Santa Claus said when he saw the M&Ms, they do exist.
Right. These... I'm glad you interrupted me to say that.
That's what I'm here for, Tom.
Superconductors exist today. However, the big catch to them, the big caveat, is that they... do not work. The ones we have today do not work at room temperature or ambient pressure. Ambient pressure being like the level of pressure we're both in right
yeah.
now. One atmosphere of pressure.
Basically, they don't work unless they're in very, very controlled environments.
Yeah, they need to be super cooled. So they need to be like, you know.
Can't they think of other terms than super? Oh, the superconductor needs to be super cool. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it accurately describes if somebody was like, oh, it needs to be cold. Oh, okay, I'll put it in my... No, you idiot, super cold.
Right.
Oh, okay. Super just tells you you need something you're not going to find laying around the house to do it.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, the superconductors nowadays, they need to be not just cold, like, you know, I don't know, negative 400 degrees cold or whatever, close to like absolute zero. To work properly. And so obviously that takes a tremendous amount of electricity and energy to cool it. So then it's like, well, this isn't even worth it because we're spending more energy cooling this thing than we would have lost if we just used a different kind
right.
of conductor. But there are certain uses where... it's still worth it to do that because there's just not another way. A common one is MRI machines.
Right.
So like MRI machines are huge and loud and expensive.
They go bang, bang, clang, clang, clang. Yeah. You ever get an MRI?
Yeah. And they have like, it's magnets in there spinning around and everything. I'm not sure exactly how that works. Like if it's cooled or pressurized or something like that. Why they need superconductor?
It wasn't very
use...
cold in that tube when I went in it, though.
No. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
Certainly not super cold.
I'm not sure how they're using superconductors and how that works. Okay. But so this, the LK99, Tim, if it is real, which we'll talk about. It'd be a new material that would do a ton of stuff, which like we can talk about later. But the biggest thing being
you're putting a lot of pins in things here.
Well, I'm trying.
Wait, hold on. It would be a game changer because we wouldn't need to have those controlled environments for them that would take a lot of energy to maintain.
Yes,
you could just plug in a superconductor here or bring a super. I don't see this is where like I understand all this, but like, okay, your example of electrocuting me with a wire,
I'd be able to do it so much better.
I know, I understand that, but what is there a practical that doesn't application of this that doesn't involve just like murdering your best friend with electricity?
There are tons of practical applications. So the one.
This is of superconductors in general, like what they're being used for currently, or
no? This is if
potentially
if this room
if it
temperature
makes sense, if it makes sense to do it, okay.
If this is a viable thing, it's going to make other things possible that aren't currently. One of them to keep along the lines of MRI machines is it would make it possible to make portable. Like handheld MRI machines.
Okay.
You wouldn't need that whole big contraption. So they would be way cheaper. We would be able to, you would be able to.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd keep them real low cost.
You'd be able to like use them in the field. You know, you wouldn't have to have a whole facility dedicated to this.
Cool. But you know what? We can go to a room. I think so. Oh, I don't have to go to a room to do this.
Tim, I don't think it's to help out lazy people that don't want to go to a room.
I don't want to drive 15 minutes to a room that has this machine in it.
I think it's like, you know, in cases of like disasters or war, right, or whatever.
Okay.
You'd be able to have like field operations.
Well, I'm anti-war, Tom, so.
Right, see.
And I think disasters are pretty bad too.
Yeah,
so
we shouldn't be trying to facilitate them in any way.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of wars.
You help the wars if you.
Yeah. One of the big reasons why this whole Russia thing hasn't evolved into or devolved into World War III is like nobody wants to bring the MRI machines all the way to the war zone.
Yeah.
So they're like, we'll just keep fighting here. We'd love to turn this into a world war, but just how are we going to get all those people to go to those
rooms? The logic's airtight. Okay. So number one, you can have portable MRI machines.
Yes. Number two, it would make it easier and cheaper to do maglev.
For like high speed rail?
Yes. Or... So one of the other things that I forgot to mention, one of the other aspects of this, of a superconductor, is that it has diamagnetism, which is a material. When a material expels a magnetic field, it's a classic signature of a superconductor through a phenomenon called the Meissner effect. So basically, with superconductors, from what I understand, which again is
a lot, it's very
I mean, I did go to school for 20 years to learn about this stuff.
You did?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I never mentioned that. Yeah, I've been going to night school. I've been going to correspondence school
about superconductors.
Just getting my physicist
degree. I can tell by the way you speak about it. Yeah.
I know all the lingo. But from what I understand, it's basically that if you put a superconductor like over a magnet, mm-hmm. it floats. It like hovers in the air.
So it's also a magnet.
Yeah, but the way it, I believe it
you
has...
You know, everything you're talking about here, the MRIs, the maglev...
You think I'm just describing magnets.
Yeah, I think this is just magnet stuff.
One of the differences, I believe...
Doing a whole episode on magnet stuff.
Has to do with how the magnetic fields line up. So that... Because, like, you think about now, you hold a magnet over another magnet... And like you can feel they're pushing against each other, but if you let go, that magnet will flip over to its other polarity and stick together.
Right.
With this, I think it's...
I wanted to do my science fair project on that in sixth grade.
And what would have the... Tell me more.
That's what everybody said to me. And I was just like, look, the magnets, if you hold them this way, they stick together. But if you hold them this way, they resist sticking together. And they were like, okay, and what are you going to study? It was like, yeah, I'll just demonstrate that.
Yeah.
Like, they made me do a whole different project.
Blow some minds.
Well, no sixth grader is doing like, oh, yeah, they made a real freaking scientific breakthrough.
Yeah,
with
they're all doing the volcano thing with the
Did
baking soda.
Did you ever make
soda.
A volcano?
No, I feel like when they had
this is as good as the vinegar and baking soda
better.
Is the same thing as magnets. How
yeah.
do they work?
I feel like when we did a science when we had like science fairs, they specifically said we couldn't do the volcano thing because I think it doesn't really it's not really like a science experiment.
No,
it's just these two things react to each other, and that has nothing to do with how volcanoes work. And
I think it was also like the town dads were all like, oh, cool. Yeah, this is where I can get involved. Let's make a volcano.
Yeah, I've seen sitcoms. I know what it takes to win a science fair. But there's still TV shows today that you watch and like, you know, the kid wins the science fair with a fucking volcano.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. That
Modern
doesn't happen.
Family.
What? Yeah. Well, what science fair judge is like? Oh, never. Oh, what? The vinegar
science fair
and baking
judges
soda?
Are the freaking most disgusting people in society. Though. They're the dumbest assholes you'll ever meet.
Tim, it sounds like you're still holding a lot. You're carrying a lot around with you about this magnet thing.
Yeah, I'm upset about it.
So as a result, science fair judges aren't the most disgusting people y'all ever.
Yeah, dumbest assholes.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Tim, before you were going on and on about your grudge with the science fair judges, it's explaining this Meisner effect. From what I understand, and this could be wrong, I believe it the polarity or something is different, so that doesn't happen. It doesn't flip. It just floats like the whole thing just kind of repels instead of just one side repelling.
Gotcha. That's fine. And I honestly don't care about the science behind it. I'm now concerned with the applications of a superconductor. Beyond here, I read an article. I'm not going to lie to you.
Before we get off the magnetism thing, let me just say that's probably like a lot of the videos. That's what they demonstrate.
Gotcha.
That it's a magnet and this little piece, you know, looks like a little rock is like hovering or like standing up on it.
You can do that with a fan and a crumpled up gum wrapper.
Well, part of this, which is why there's a lot of skepticism, of course. But there's also a lot of, because they published all this information publicly, there are tons of labs right now, hundreds of labs probably, that are replicating it or trying to replicate it because it doesn't require crazy equipment. It's equipment that like most university labs have access to.
Right.
And like some people are successfully appearing to recreate it, but there's still a lot of like questions about even big questions like, cool, can this actually be mass produced, or is this just going to kind of be like a little lab oddity of like, as you know, you can make a little tiny speck of a superconductor using these things, and yeah, it's not useful for anything, but look, it hovers over a magnet.
Yeah. Hey, look, it could be fun to, like, have that in a science museum or something. I don't know.
At the gift shop, maybe?
Yeah. the article that I read about this that I did not really understand.
Right. Yeah, I guess for most articles.
I had two takeaways. Uh-huh. Number one, it was like, if somebody, you know, creates this and has like a patent or whatever, mm-hmm. they stand to make like trillions of dollars.
Right, yeah, potentially.
And like, so I skimmed the rest of the article, but I was also like, but how? And then the other thing was like, well, if they use this to like replace all of the electrical grids,
yeah,
you can reduce electricity usage,
yeah,
by 15%, mm-hmm. which is good,
right?
But like,
but it doesn't sound like that's going to change the world.
It's not going to change the world, and mm-hmm. like. There are ways that we could update our power grid here in the U.S. right now that would probably, like, it's probably so outdated mm-hmm. that, like, we have the technology to bring it down 15% already.
Yeah.
But, like, we're just not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, so I was looking up, apparently the U.S. power grid right now, on average, wastes about 8% of the electricity.
Okay.
But in some other countries with like less developed power grids, which surprisingly there are countries with even worse power grids than ours, it could be up to 20%.
Right.
And that's when you include like the cables and transformers and all that kind of
transformers.
Stuff. Yeah. They steal a lot of the electricity, Tim. They need something to run on. You think they run on human food? No, electricity. They're machines.
Yeah, they are machines. I suppose it's better than petroleum.
Yes. Well, oh, the machines?
Yeah.
The transformers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want them running on gas.
Yeah, that's true. And then
electric
like
cars.
Always pumping out, you know, that they've, you don't want
we're all about electric cars.
Transformer with a tailpipe. We spewing out carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could.
Hold on. I know you're going to go mm-hmm. into a thing. I just want to say later on, I want to talk about how all of this has solidified a thought in my head that I think there should be. We should stop all technological progress.
Okay, but we'll talk about that later.
yeah. I want you to talk about
okay
the meat and potatoes here, and then my rebuttal, which will be enough with all this.
Tim, I think you'd get along a lot better with this Robert Durst that lives in your building than your 20-year-old cousins with these kinds of attitudes.
Yeah, well, we all feel the same age.
It seems like you feel older than this man.
I might just be wiser than most people. Maybe not older.
So it would, if we replace all the power lines, yeah, it would make a decent size, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it'd be 15% more efficient or whatever. Yeah. And you were saying like, there's things we could do now. I'm sure there are, but this wouldn't be like a small undertaking, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's my other thing. Yeah. We have a lot of technologies mm-hmm. that, if applied on a large scale, and I'm talking about the U.S. here, I don't know,
right?
But would make things a lot better that mm-hmm. we don't do because it's expensive.
And yeah,
make a fucking devastating weapon out of it.
Oh, I'm sure there are ways to do that.
With this? Yeah, that's another thing. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Those are the applications that will make this $1 trillion.
Yeah, you know what this would be really good for? Is rail guns.
That's what is a rail gun?
A rail gun.
And to be clear, mm-hmm. you know a lot about this. You 3D print guns.
I don't 3D print guns. I haven't even used my 3D printer in a while.
You get them through security, right?
No, not so I can get them. Tim, you've been watching Harrison Ford,
In the Line of Fire, the Clint Eastwood John Malkovich movie.
Yeah,
he had the
plastic gun that he brought on mm-hmm. a plane or something.
No, he was going to use it to kill the president.
Yeah, but I think he brought it on a plane too.
Yeah, it's how he got through metal
detectors.
Because
he had the bullet in a
rabbit's foot.
Yeah, which
yeah,
I was like, that's
keys.
Pretty, yeah,
smart.
Yeah,
one shot. What's a rail gun?
I think there were two bullets in it because I think it was a double barrel. So a rail gun is basically the...
You know, John Malkovich got arrested for that movie.
Is that true?
Because he threatened to kill the president, and they're just like, I don't care if you were
acting.
Doesn't
matter. You can't say it.
You can't say it.
Yeah. Well, you just said it.
No, I said he threatened to kill the president.
Yeah. Yep. You said it again. A rail gun is essentially how Batman and Robin the Chiller at Six Flags Great Adventure works.
Okay, with... now you got me.
Now you're speaking my scientific language. It uses magnets to fire a projectile.
Okay.
So like magnets firing off in sequence, you know, reverse polarity to get something
going. My sixth grade science project comes to life.
And it just kind of uses like a row of magnets that like, you know, quickly switch on to get the thing up to speed very fast.
Okay.
And
so, like all those roller coasters, the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster, for example.
Yeah, not King Ka. That used like I think water pressure to launch you or some weird thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well.
But maybe they can upgrade it once they've got, they can make faster roller coasters with this stuff.
Right.
Especially if then they make the rails maglev.
That's,
you'll kill people. It'll be too fast.
When's the last time you've been on an intense roller coaster? It's pre-pandemic, right?
Oh, no, when I was in Disneyland in Paris.
Oh.
Because I went on the Iron Man Captain Marvel, which was the rock and roller coaster.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're going to have to get rid of the Aerosmith thing when Steven Tyler like goes on trial for horrible things with underage people, right?
Maybe. I think there
you think
was...
Disney might be like,
I think actually I read some rumor that like Disney's thinking about like changing it to like Queen roller coaster, which probably they like have run the numbers and they're like, the music's more popular and the licensing fees are lower and less problematic.
What was I gonna say about it? Yeah. Oh, I'm afraid that if I go on an intense roller coaster, I'm gonna die.
Well, don't go on one of these superconductor ones.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might think I'm 25.
Right, but I could die on a roller coaster. Not through an accident or anything, just shock.
And like less likely than the old Jinx man, of course. He'd be sure
you don't
to die.
No. Maybe he's a big enthusiast.
You put him on freaking Rolling Thunder and he's
well, I'll tell you what, if he's got anything in common with the real Jinx, Tim, it's going to take a hell of a lot more than that to kill him. Put him on a roller coaster. Maybe they put like, you know, sometimes you hear like, they found like some Nazi hiding. You know, so we're putting this like 95-year-old, you know, in Germany, like we're going to put this 95-year-old man on trial, which is great. Like, of course, do that. But shouldn't that be like look, you can either like die in jail or you can roll the dice and we'll put you on a roller coaster 10 times in a row.
You have to do the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster.
And like there's not going to be breaks in between or anything. But if you survive that. You walk away scot-free.
Yeah.
The only Nazi to be found not guilty by reason of riding a roller coaster 10 times and living to tell the tale. He'd still be guilty, but that would be his punishment.
Yeah.
I think it would make everybody happy.
You get to watch it. Because, like, at the very least, like, even if he survived, number one, he wouldn't be the same afterwards. You'd see him stumble away from that
thing. Yeah, wouldn't you like to watch like a 95-year-old Nazi being like, no, please stop it. Stop the roller coaster.
Yeah, it's like, sorry.
Sorry. Sorry, Franz. That is what you agreed to.
This was the deal.
Yeah.
His reaction would be enough. Even if he got to walk away.
Right.
It's like, it'd be like that Kill Bill thing. He'd like walk 10 steps and then collapse.
Just collapse and die. I'm wondering too if it would be like even more chilling if like when the roller coaster came back, like he wasn't screaming. He was just very quiet. Anyway, so yeah, you could use a superconductor to kill old Nazis with a roller coaster, for example. I didn't think about the roller coaster applications, which are, like I said, twofold and could really get out of control.
Yeah. I think we're, again, no, we don't need any more roller coaster advancements.
But yeah, we do. Come on. Keep going, fellas.
It's too scary.
I
see the picture of you on a roller coaster.
That's that roller coaster.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's Captain Marvel and Iron Man there.
We'll post that picture.
Yeah, we were helping to fight the Skrulls, I think, or the Kree, somebody.
The Skrulls became good at some point, I think.
Yeah, but some of them are bad. I don't know. We were in space. Iron Man needed our help. And he had made
you
a roller coaster.
You don't ask questions in that case.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I had a few questions because he was speaking French, so I didn't really know what he was saying, but that he pointed to the roller coaster and then the gates opened. So I was like, all right, I guess this is what he wants us to do.
Us to go in there, yeah.
So some of the other things that it could do is, like one of the big things, the biggest thing is basically, this would be like a huge technological leap forward in ways that we don't even really, you know, we wouldn't know for decades until we're like working with this stuff. Some of the things we might be able to do, but it would just make everything way more efficient. But one of the other differences is, you know, if they started using this stuff in like computers and phones, those things would not get warm anymore. They would not generate heat.
Okay, who cares? Does your phone ever go like, oh no, I'm burning? Well, frail are you?
No, but that's a big obstacle in like how fast these things can go, because like they could just pump more voltage into your phone and make it twice as fast, but it's gonna burn out.
Gotcha.
Because it gets too hot. But once we have superconductors in there, you don't have to worry about
that.
It's
your dream, just like a really fast phone. Are we talking about how fast phones are?
And it would also have implications in battery technology because of that. So similarly, you know, like you plug in your phone and it gets warm while it's charging.
Sure.
That's waste heat coming out of there. That's, you know, inefficiencies.
Right.
This would not have those inefficiencies, which means you would be able to like plug in your phone potentially for like a few seconds and it would be able to charge it from 0 to 100. So there's a lot of things like that that would potentially fundamentally change if all of a sudden even something like an EV battery would take way less time, would take seconds or minutes to fully charge. Well, now you wouldn't need as big of a battery.
Right.
And you wouldn't need nearly as big of an engine, because you could use the superconductor and the engine parts. It would be a way more efficient engine.
Okay.
Way more efficient battery.
Efficiency. Energy efficiency.
But to a point, not just a like, oh, cool, my phone's faster than ever.
Right.
To the point where it makes technology like, you know what a desalinization plant is?
It takes the piss out of water or something.
Not the piss. It takes the salt out. If there's piss in there, I think it'll take that out too.
All right. Yeah.
The scientific dream, a way to take piss out of water.
I mean,
what you mean? What?
That's part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of the dream.
It's not a huge problem. Anyway, things like desalinization plants, which currently there are not that many, basically because it's too expensive to do, you know?
Right.
So even in places that don't have water but have access to seawater, it's still like, it's still just cheaper to like truck this water in than it is to run a desalinization plant. But if it suddenly doesn't cost that much money to run a desalinization plant, well, now you could have tons of them. You could have ones potentially that are, you know, just powered off of solar. So now they're not needing any kind of, you know, grid power. They're super efficient. And same thing with, like they think superconductors could lead to breakthroughs with like, fusion like potentially like cold fusion.
See, I made a list of things that scientific stuff that I thought. Cold fusion was at the top of my list.
Yeah.
What would that mean? That would just be a way to generate energy.
Yeah, through fusion. Without, like, the way, I believe the way it's done now, we have to put more energy in than we get out when we do it. So it just doesn't make sense. But if you don't have to put that, you know, that much energy in to get it started, if it stays cold, essentially, I think, it's much more effective. But but along with the idea of a room temperature superconductor, it's like a similar, like, technically this should be possible. Like, the physics say this should be a thing that can be done, but nobody knows how to do it.
Right.
And again, it might be a thing that
bunch of idiots. All the scientists are just idiots who things possible, but they can't figure it out.
But it's also one of those things where it's like, yeah, it may be possible and we may figure out how to do it, but it will turn out not to be like a way that's beneficial, that's helpful. It won't make sense. And again, that's the thing with LK99. They're not exactly sure how easy it will be to produce, because, you know, we're making like super small samples now. But like, they don't know, it might be like super brittle. I think it is very brittle, and like, there might be a way to make it not so brittle, but there might not be. And then in that case, well, we can't make wires out of this. It's brittle. It doesn't work in wires. So it'd still be like beneficial, but not, you know, a game changer, like, you know, people speculate.
Yeah. Well, the first time I saw a headline about this thing that we're talking about that I forget the name of it is, I thought it was
LK99.
Yeah, I thought it was cold fusion. I was like, yeah. Oh, that's it. Like, there's aliens and we have cold fusion. Like, all the science fiction movies are, you know, coming to a head now.
Right. But you didn't know what it meant.
I didn't know what it meant, but I heard about it a lot.
Well, so Tim, there's also...
We also had to watch out for chaos theory, Tom. And the other thing on my list was a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah. I don't think this has anything to do with a perpetual motion machine.
All right.
And perpetual motion is one of those things, actually, I believe, that is kind of the opposite, where, you know, physicists say, like, no, this is not possible. You know, because of like entropy and energy loss, like, you can't make something that you don't have to put more energy in and it just always keeps going. But that there are, you know, other people that come out of the woods every, you know, decade or so. They're like, I've done it. And, you know, it's hoaxes, or they got, you know, they did something wrong and they didn't understand it. So like I said, kind of the opposite of a superconductor, in that scientists don't think it's possible, but other people do and keep trying to make it happen. What was the other thing I was just about to say something else about good old LK99, but
that people think it might be a hoax.
Oh no, this is what it is. Yeah, I mean, some people, there's like apparently two teams working on it and they got into a fight and they like filed separately.
Yeah. That was the article I read.
Yeah. So there is like a lot of stuff around it where it's like, and there's one or two, I don't even know what you would call them, but like things that you do when you're proving this stuff that they didn't do, that like, you know, people that know about this stuff are like, well, if they didn't test this, then it is worthless until somebody tests if X is true.
Right.
And it's also like highly suspect that they didn't do that test, and very plausible that they did do that test. It didn't give them the result they liked, so they excluded it.
Right.
But
that is very sus.
But you brought up an important thing when you brought up the aliens being real.
I know.
Is that some people think that this is exactly the type of stuff that these whistleblowers are talking about, where it's like, yeah, somebody got this material from a retrieved craft and it has been reverse engineered. And there's like a weird thing where in the patent, it cites another patent as like prior work that is a Navy patent that is around like anti-gravity technology or something, which the patent office put in there. Like, not these people. These people weren't, these scientists, I believe they're in South Korea, did not say like, oh yeah, we're working off of this. But like somebody in the patent office was like, oh, it's just like this. And it's a patent that like UFO enthusiasts have already like been keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
Like, look at this weird patent that the Navy came up with out of nowhere. So yeah, it's possible that this is.
I mean, I don't understand how these things are, and you know, it's very surprising that I wouldn't understand this, but how these things are developed. They just like start like putting things together and then running tests on them.
That's why I always wonder, like people who are scientists. Like, I've known some scientists in my day, and
you've known one. We've both known one.
No,
scientist.
I know another one. I know the one you're thinking of, and I know another one.
The one that we know, we haven't talked to in 25 years.
Yeah, but besides that guy, he worked at Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory.
Yeah, he did.
Like when we
Oh, I know another one too, separately from you, probably. And
it might be
the
same other one I'm thinking. but yeah, I always wonder. Like, yeah, are you like? I'm sure there are a lot of days where it's like, oh, I'm working on proving this. But like, are there days where it's just like, all right, everybody try and come up with something new today?
What like, if we put copper into this thing?
We brought
shoot some electrons at it.
We brought out the big folding tables. We put all the chemicals we got out, all the metals and everything. And you know,
dumb ideas here,
be
guys.
Be careful. Just, put on your safety goggles, everybody. Yeah. But aside from that, yeah, just
go nuts. Like, start mixing things and
let's just start brainstorming.
You know, put them in one of those centrifuges.
Sure, light it on fire with a Bunsen burner. You know, come on. Yeah, like you said, no bad ideas. see, I don't know. I mean, and that's. And in fairness, how many freaking famous inventions are accidents where somebody was trying to create?
They always say that, but then they're like, you know, whiteout. It's like, okay.
No, well, not just whiteout, but like LSD. Like, that guy wasn't trying to make LSD, and he like got some on his skin and was like, what is going on? Like, reality is melting, which must have been crazy to be like the first guy having a... an acid trip and not
thinking
knowing
you're just having a medical episode, but he didn't. He was just like, I was riding my bike home, and I was like, weird.
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
The '60s were weird, man.
Yeah, it was the days when you didn't have to wear gloves when you worked at a lab. You ever hear this story? There's this woman. She got I forget what it was called, a scientist, and she like got like a drop of, I forget what it was. And it was like on the glove, but it went through the glove. I forget what it is in the whole, but it was like the most horrific story where it's like, once this happened, it's like, well, that will, over the next couple of weeks, work its way to your brain and kill you. And there is absolutely nothing that can be done that can like slow this down, reverse it. Nothing. It's just, yep.
Well, turns out I don't want to work in a lab.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be fun for those days that we were just describing.
Yeah, but like, what could happen, even if you're wearing gloves?
You could die.
The place that discovered it, Tim, I mean, this is like the kind of place where it's like, is that where Ant-Man worked? The Quantum Energy Research Center in South Korea. Which, like, I'm always like suspect if it doesn't have like a name. If it's like a, like, you know, the Lee Center for
You think it
quantum.
Should have a, yeah.
It just feels like generic. It feels like somebody made that and they're like, oh, what should we put on the patent application? The Quantum Research Center. I talked about the floating. And even in the like
floating.
The patent, they said a brand new historical event that opens a new era for humankind. And it's like,
You put that in a patent,
or maybe not in the patent, but like the paper that they came out with, where it's like, let other people say that once they've, you
act
know,
like you've been here before.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to say that. That's like a red flag.
Yeah.
That it's like, you're the one hyping this up.
Yeah. Especially if you underplay it. Like, yeah. These guys are so humble.
Well, and that's the thing, like the fact that they put, because other people throughout history have claimed this type of thing and, you know, somewhat understandably have been like, no, I'm not telling you how I made it. I'm going to be the world's first trillionaire.
Right.
If I tell you how I made it, you're going to steal it from me. Whereas these people did put out, this is how you make it, which is a big,
they
you
also
know,
put out, this is how you Dougie.
That was years ago.
Teach me how to Dougie. Never mind. They also put out, this is how we do it.
That was Montel Jordan, Tim. You know that. But people have, like I said, done this before, but been secretive. And from what I've read with this stuff, it's basically, look, how to do this is out. People are already doing it. And some people are saying, yeah, this is a real deal. Some people are saying, nah, this doesn't work the way they said it would work. That basically the consensus is, like, in a week or two, we'll know whether this is something real or, you know, like I said, if there's like some caveat to it or, you know, it can't be produced in bulk or can't be used in the ways we would want to use it, stuff like that.
Do you feel like a breakthrough like this, mm-hmm. where it would be like implementation would be like over the next like years, decades?
Yeah,
whatever.
That's it would be, from what I've read, they're like, even if this is like true, it'd probably take like a decade for practical applications of
you have
it.
Time before we're all wiped out by all the horrible shit going on.
Well, that, I mean, they, you know, this would be like a huge potential game changer as far as global warming, because it would just make a lot of stuff way more efficient.
Right.
Again, it's not like we can just replace everything now in, you know, oh yeah, in 5 years we'll have everything replaced and everything will be fine.
If there was the will.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing, that like it's not necessarily something to hang all your hopes on, but it is one of the things where it's like, you know, even years ago when people would say like, well, this is like the future we're doomed to with global warming, unless somebody comes up with a room temperature superconductor.
Right.
Like, it is kind of one of those things where it's like, oh shit, this could potentially,
it's one of those things, yeah. But I feel like to like move the needle,
it could lead
at
to
this point, mm-hmm. is like, all right, and we just need like 35 other things that are equal,
yeah.
To this, that we start implementing all of this, you know, piecemeal at the same time, and then we'll be slightly less fucked, I think.
Yeah, because it is a, you know, oh, this could lead to cold fusion. It could lead to
a perpetual motion machine.
Perpetual motion machine. No, but like I said, it makes things like desalinization plants, mm-hmm. Viable. And I feel like there are, you know, a bunch of things like that, you know, people always point to like, oh, we could do, you know, oh, this is a way we could like help the planet, help. And it's like, yeah, but that costs too much money. It can't be done. This might actually make some stuff like cheap enough that it would potentially roll out like pretty quickly, just because the companies that only care about money, it would still make sense for them to do
right.
it, because they would be saving a tremendous amount of money. And it would, you know, it'd make energy way cheaper. It would make energy storage a lot cheaper and easier. So then, you know, you do start having the potential of, I don't know, things like, oh, we could have like autonomous robots cleaning the ocean, just running on solar power. And we just don't really have to like think about it. They're just out there.
Have them also kill some of those monsters down there.
Have them kill some of the monsters if they come across them.
Yeah.
Put harpoons guns
just
on
put,
them.
Oh no, they'll have case. They'll have the rail guns.
Yeah, put a rail harpoon gun in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would really freak those monsters out.
At the end of the day, it's about killing sea monsters, right?
Yeah.
Aliens of the deep, they call.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. If you're a big science fan, check out tcgte.com. You can find all our social media links there, our subreddit, our Discord. Check all those things out. You can find me on most social media platforms at Tom Reynolds.
You can find me at Your Pal Tim on freaking Blue Sky. Get on Blue Sky.
I think it's still invite only.
Oh. Okay, well, I got these invites piled up.
Well, you have like three. You can get it.
I have news for you, Tom. Four.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, I take it back. You can get everybody on there that wants to be on there. And what is your phone number if people are interested in one of those?
555. Klondike 5.
Why
643.
Did they do that? Klondike 5. Old shows. Check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/complete guide for books and podcasts. We just finished reading The Time Machine, and now we've both watched the 2002 Guy Pearce vehicle, the Time Machine.
the
Klondike Machine. It's about an old phone. You can get that and tons of episodes of Books of Podcasts and more.
Billions of hours, I think we calculated.
Somewhere
it.
Around there.
Yeah. Hundreds of hours, right?
Certainly hundreds of hours. Patreon.com/complete guide. One of the other things with superconductors, Tim, could potentially lead to things such as hoverboards.
I mean, like, you have a hoverboard here.
It doesn't work, though. But if I got some of the superconductor, I could put it in there and maybe get it to work.
You know
what
would be messed up?
What's that?
If they had legit Back to the Future style hoverboards.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all of this, whatever. And then people are like, oh, I know what hoverboards are. And it was just the things that were popular 5 years ago.
Yeah, like the Segways without the handles.
Yeah. And then the hoverboards failed.
I think if they had real hoverboards, people would be like, oh, cool, real hoverboards. And they would just start calling them real hoverboards.
Yeah, that's true. Like the real Ghostbusters.
But it seems like that would work if you had like strong enough superconductors in there. But I think it would also be like intensely dangerous, you know? To have a strong enough magnet that it repels the Earth's magnetic field, and and it's made by Mattel, and you stand on it and just push off. And also, like, there wouldn't be friction, so you would go really fast.
Yeah.
I think it would work over water.
It would work over water too. It's just about to.
So that's a way to get that wrong, Back to the Future,
yeah,
too.
Nice job, assholes.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.